What's going on? Thank you so much for listening to this podcast. It is heard live every day from noon to 3 on WBT Radio in Charlotte. And if you want exclusive content, like invitations to events, the weekly live stream, my daily show prep with all the links, become a patron. Go to thepetecallinershow.com. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Get every episode for free right to your smartphone or tablet. And again, thank you so much for your support. Mecklenburg County Commissioners failed to pass a proclamation in support of Pride Month this week after a clash over procedural questions. This is the Charlotte Observer's Mary Ramsey. It was actually a little bit more than procedural questions. It was over decades of personality conflicts. Board Chairman George Dunlap and Commissioner Elaine Powell voted against a motion to add the proclamation to the board's agenda after a tense debate. The motion required unanimous approval, so the proclamation was not added by the commissioners. George Dunlap says that it's because the process wasn't followed, that if the people wanted, the commissioners wanted this proclamation included in the agenda, then they could have put it on at any point prior to the Friday before the meeting. They had, there are rules that say, like, you know, at least 11 days or beyond, you got to submit this thing. You knew June was Pride Month. Like, you could have put it in on any at any point before Friday, last Friday. And then you can also do it, but you got to ask the chair, can I get this on the agenda if it's within 11 days? And they didn't do that either. They went through the clerk. Then they asked the county attorney. And the county attorney said, you can add it, but you got to get unanimous consent. And so they said, okay, we'll do that. And then they started sending emails around, but they never included George Dunlap on the emails because some of the county commissioners, they don't really like George. George doesn't like them, right? So process is the fig leaf here, right? They all supposedly, and I'll take them at their word, that they all agree, and in the past, they all have supported a proclamation for Pride Month. Pat Cotham, who proposed it, she does not accept the assertion that the process was violated.
I would like to also say that I do reject that it was given late, because as far as I can remember, since I've been on this board, we could give things to the clerk on Fridays before the meeting, which I did. And I gave the two sponsors, co-sponsors, Commissioner Leek and our vice chair, Mark Terrell. So I reject that. But anyway, we are where we are right now. And the city is doing this. And I celebrate the city for doing this. And we should do our part. We have done it in the past. We should do it again. We have more than 100,000 residents in our county who are LGBTQ. And they need to know that we have their back. And we honor them.
That's the point. We got your back. And if we don't write, if we don't have this proclamation, that means we don't. So I guess they don't have your back. That's what Mecklenburg County does not have the back of the right. If that's the way you're going to frame this and you failed to pass the proclamation, then like, not my framing. I didn't frame it like that. But or was that just rhetoric? Let me go over. Ann's been waiting very patiently for a while. Hello, Ann. Welcome to the show. No, no. Well, no wonder why she's been on hold so long. She's not even listening. Ann. All right.
Hello?
Oh, you are there. Hello, Ann.
Hi. I just wanted to comment on the earlier gentleman. He said he was an American who is black, and I'm an American who is white, and I have some grandparents who came off the boat from Sweden and Italy, both. So they came through Ellis Island, and I think that makes us Americans when we do that properly. And there is no Swedish parade, there's no Italian parade, so nobody, I don't think, ever protested about that. And we're doing fine.
Right. So here's the thing, though. Like, I don't have, I had people, I remember this was a big deal when about 15 years ago, people would complain about I remember somebody called in, they were complaining about stickers or something or flags on cars of South American and Central American countries, and the caller was upset about that. And it's the same thing with these proclamations. Like, they do them for Italian American Heritage Month. They do it for St. Patrick's Day for the Irish. Like, it's not, if local groups come to the local body and they're like, hey, you know, we're, you know, this is something Heritage Month, we would like a proclamation in support of it. It's usually just a formality. They do it. There's no downside to doing it for these local elected officials. Yeah, you want to proclaim this month to be whatever Heritage Month? Boom, there you go. And I have the same. I don't have any problem with people with stickers of an Irish flag on their car, or a Swedish flag, or an Italian flag, because that's their heritage, and they want to put a flag on their car. You go right ahead. It doesn't bother me.
But it's not a reason to make problems.
It's not a reason to make problems. I'm not following that.
Have you ever heard of the Swedish Americans rising up and burning buildings or running across screaming at council meetings or anything like that? I mean, I'm kind of exaggerating there, but, you know, you come here, you want to be an American? Be an American. Be happy. You can have your choices. Nobody was infringing on these other people's rights 20 years ago. Now they are infringing on my grandchildren's rights, and I don't like that.
All right, so what does that have to do with the proclamations?
Nothing, but...
Oh, okay.
I was just saying...
All right, no,
that,
I was trying to follow
I like the idea that the guy said, I'm an American.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, I did too. I agreed with him as well. Yeah, we're Americans. Cool. All right. So Elaine Powell, she was the vice chair of the county commission. I don't believe she is any longer. I think that's now Mark Jarrell. But Elaine Powell, she came out and she's saying she's going to stand by George Dunlap because he's the chair and process matters.
There is not one county commissioner up here that doesn't support a proclamation. Not one. So for any kind of divisiveness to be crafted is really disturbing.
Mm.
Because there is no divisiveness. The request came in late. The clerk's office was short-staffed. It's not up to them to craft a resolution. It's not up to board support to craft a resolution. I feel like the chairman is being villainized, and it really troubles me. He doesn't deserve this. He was following process.
Isn't process also that if you have unanimous consent, you can put it on the agenda? Isn't that the process too? Oh, that's right. It is the process. So which process here is more important, right? You've got different avenues to get to the same objective that you say everybody shares. So why are you ignoring the current process available that's up for discussion at this moment? You're saying they didn't get it in on time 4 days ago. And so that's the process that supersedes the current one that you actually have the ability to adopt right now. You have the ability to pass the proclamation right now under a process that is legal and legitimate and has been done before. But everybody has to agree to do it. But some people don't want to do it because of the process. This doesn't really make a lot of sense. Once I say, process is the fig leaf. It's just the cover story here. The real story is that these people don't like each other, and this is petty vindictiveness at play. She goes on.
It's really sad that such an important thing has come to this. And I stand with him.
That was
I was his vice chair for 5 years.
I know.
He cares. Mm. And so I will follow his lead on this. It's just so troubling to me to have news media coming, following us around, thinking that he has done something bad and he's just trying to follow process.
Mm.
And so he can speak for himself. But, I will stand with him, whatever his guidance is on this. And that concludes my comments.
Okay. So she's with George Dunlap. They were the only two that opposed it. All it took was one. But it's always helpful to have at least one other person standing with you so you don't take the rap all on your own, right? County Commission Chairman George Dunlap, who has said that he's not going to be a chair after this next election cycle. And I will say this, for all of my negative comments that I have made over the course of, lo, these many 20 years, I do think he did a decent job as chair. It's a tough gig. It is. Running meetings and stuff, herding cats, that sort of stuff. You got to know a lot of rules and procedures, and I thought he did. A fine job as the chair. Okay, so here is now George Dunlap's response and his explanation for all of this "quote unquote" process debate, and these are very lengthy. I got them chopped up. Well, I'm going to chop it up in real time. Here we go.
So let me start off by reading the first paragraph of an email that I received.
Ooh,
it says, "Good evening, Chairman Dunlap. We were informed today that the Mecklenburg Board of County Commissioners had not prepared the annual proclamation for National Pride Month, nor received a request subsequently. We are also told that it was too late to add to the final meeting for next Tuesday, and the ability to do so was denied by you as chair."
Right.
So that is the beginning of the proclamation that I received. I did respond.
So he's mad that these other commissioners told the gay community, the LGBTQ+2IA community, he's mad that he was villainized, that he was tossed under the bus, that he's the reason why these county commissioners are citing why they can't get the Pride Proclamation. That was before the meeting on Tuesday.
My response says, "Chad, thank you for your inquiry. I am certain that the person that you were in communication with did not tell you the whole story about why this item is not on the agenda for Tuesday night. So I'm taking the time to share with you what they should have told you. Their failure to know and follow the rules does not fall on me."
But the rules also allow you to put it on the agenda right now, George. You could do it right now. But what is he putting as a higher priority? Sticking it to Vilma and Pat Cotham, right? That's what he's doing. And he's willing to let the LGBTQ+2IAA, whatever, community take some strays over that. They're going right under the bus. You're not getting your proclamation because I hate these people a little bit more. I'm gonna show them. And I don't like the way they handled it. And they kept me in the dark, and they went around back channels, try to get it on the agenda, whatever, whatever. He didn't like the way they did it, and so now he's going to penalize them. And here's the thing. You hear it as he's reading that email. It's in his tone of voice. It also comes through in his emails. And he's not always like this, but more often than not, his delivery via email and in his speeches like this, oozing and dripping with condescension. And he's been like this for 25 years. From the first time I ever watched him in a school board meeting all the way through Tuesday night. This is how he often, more often than not, this is how he engages with people. And some people don't take very well to this kind of tone of voice, right? And so the county commission ends up where they are because he's going to stick it to Pat and Vilma. He's going to make them pay. For whatever reason, he didn't like them, right? Or he's just gotten a little sick and tired of the way Vilma thinks the rules don't apply to her. And that is true, by the way. He says this, and that's true. She doesn't think the rules apply to her. She's been that way for 20 plus years, too. And these two have served together on school board and on the county commission for all of those 25 years. So they know each other very, very well. They understand each other's motives and incentives and tactics. So he's maybe just fed up with it, and he's a short-termer. He's not going to be chair much longer. So he's going to do what he wants to do here in the final few months. Okay, if you're listening to this podcast, you are obviously paying attention to the world around us.
You also have really great taste, I might add. But if you haven't started getting prepared for various emergencies, I gotta ask, what are you waiting for? Please call my friends Bill and Jan at Carolina Readiness Supply, and they'll help get you started. If you have no idea how to start, they can help you. If you're an experienced prepper, they can help you too. Being prepared is just smart. We've already established that you're smart. I mean, you listen to this podcast after all. So let's put those smarts into action. Go to CarolinaReadiness.com. That's CarolinaReadiness.com or call them at 828-226-7239. Carolina Readiness Supply has 2,000 square feet of supplies as well as educational materials that you're going to need for any kind of emergency. Veteran-owned Carolina Readiness Supply. Will you be ready when the lights go out?
You know what's funny, too? I remember when George Dunlap and Vilma Leek were on the Charlotte-Mecklenburg School Board, and we did so many stories about how dysfunctional the school board was. Not that it's gotten better, but it was so bad. They had, like, at one point, the superintendent, Jim Pusley, had to be restrained physically from trying to climb over a table and attack Larry Gavreau, a school board member. Those were the days, man. I'll tell you what. It was a closed session, and you know, nobody would ever confirm that. They would go into closed session, call it a personnel matter, and then just attack the Republicans on the school board. Back in the day when Republicans actually could win school board races in Mecklenburg County. And they would call it a personnel matter, not because the school board members are personnel, because that would not be covered under closed session law, but they would say that if we don't go in and attack them, then it means our superintendent might quit. And that's the personnel matter. That's what they, yeah. So, yeah, that's who we're dealing with here. That's who is leading the county commission right now. Okay? That's what we all got to see this week. This level of dysfunction for 20-plus years, this has been going on inside the county government. It has not gotten better. As I mentioned in the last hour, the problem for the Democrats is that there are no more Republicans on the county commission, and so now it's all friendly fire for them, right? It used to be you could just demonize and demagogue the GOP. Now, without any Republicans on the body, now it's all Democrat on Democrat action. All right. So let's pick up George Dunlap's comments. He's reading from an email that somebody named Chad sent him. I have an idea who that is, but I don't know for sure, so I will just leave it there. They're like, hey, well, how come we're not getting a proclamation? And he's like, let me tell you why. It's because they didn't follow the process.
In this document that was sent, you will see excerpts of the rules that every commissioner should be aware of. And if you were a former chairman of the Board of County Commission,
Pat Cotham,
you, of all people, should know the rule.
By the way, he would do this all the time to Larry Gavreau, because George was studying at college to get like some, I think he was working on another degree or master's or something in public administration, that kind of thing. And so he would always talk about the one with the lowest amount of education. He would always talk about Gavreau, because Gavreau never graduated from college or went to college. I forget what. But he was a successful business guy, so whatever. And it doesn't matter. Anyway, the point is, this is how George always attacks people personally, and he's been doing it for years and years.
This afternoon, I received a call from our clerk informing me that Commissioner Cotham had called her and wanted her to prepare a proclamation for the meeting on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. In addition to the clerk's office being short-staffed today, it was near the time for the final draft of the agenda to be sent out, nearly 4 o'clock that afternoon on Friday.
Okay.
The clerk sent Commissioner Cotham a copy of the policy, to which Cotham said she was unaware of. Yet, she's been a commissioner for more than 10 years.
In your face!
Commissioner Cotham never communicated with me. She asked the clerk to call me and asked if I would approve it anyway. The clerk did call. Given the time of the day, the fact that not only had the first deadline been passed, but the deadline of the exception had been passed as well. even after their deadlines had been passed, Commissioner Cottom failed to follow yet another rule, which was for her to call me, ask that it be added to the agenda, and of course, I would have asked what the emergency was. She never did that. There was not any information at all provided to me to say what the extenuating circumstances would be that would warrant delaying the agenda going out. Now, I want you to know that my colleagues had been sending emails back and forth to each other, and not one time did anybody think it right to talk to the person who gets to make the decision. I'm well aware of some of the emails that went back and forth.
Ooh.
But not one person talked to me.
I did.
Well, you did, but it was after that.
I don't have to.
Okay. Laura, well, I take that back. Laura talked to me, Elaine talked to me, and Mr. Griffith talked to me.
Oh, wait. Okay, hang on a second. So half of them. So first you just said that nobody talked to you, but now it's half of them talked to you. Wait. Mm-hmm.
But the people who put forth the resolution, not one.
Pat and Vilma.
Talked to me. I have read the emails being circulated since I did not approve having the proclamation added to the agenda. Some have suggested changing the rules, and they didn't even know the rules. It is not only the chair's responsibility to know and understand the rules. It is each member of this board's responsibility to know and understand the rules.
All right, well, the rules also say that you can right now add it to the agenda if everybody agrees. That's what the rules say. Like, so just add it. He won't. He didn't want to. Okay. Then Vilma Leek uses, so this fails, okay? They have the vote. It fails because George Dunlap and Elaine Powell say no, the process, even though the process allows them to say yes and then add it. But no, the process, so no. Now we can't add it. It's your fault. Okay. So then they move on to the proclamation that's actually on the agenda, and this is the proclamation recognizing Juneteenth. Well, now all of the commissioners are allowed to speak about the proclamation. And so Vilma Leek uses this opportunity to speak on some other stuff.
It's been moved. It's been properly seconded in the discussion.
Yes.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Thank you. Here we are with a resolution, a proclamation, and speaking of the freedom of those who have been captive. I have never allowed Juneteenth to pass.
I smell a butt.
Without not recognizing the fact that I happen to be of a race that was captive. I've never been in bondage.
I smell a butt.
As you call it, but I feel like I'm in bondage now.
Boom!
In many ways, you can be in bondage. And I'm grateful that my forefathers fought for me to have some degree of freedom. When I speak up here at this board, I speak for Vilma Leek and the people who elect me. I'm awfully upset when it comes to the fact that our job is placed in the category of control. We are elected by the people, and the people have asked us to represent them. A few days ago, the very people sitting up here hollering tried to get me out of office because of my desire to represent the people. And I'm going to continue to speak for and represent the people because I work for you. And I'm awfully hurt that the chairperson was the leader of the process.
About to try to get
you 2 years to get me out of office.
Right. Yeah, that's not because you were there to represent the people. They're trying to get you out of office because you're kind of awful to work with. I'm not sure you're aware of this. I've been aware of it for 20 years. Like, people, they don't like to work with you because you do this kind of stuff. You do these meandering reports that just wastes everybody's time. She would go to schools and do like these spot visits and stuff when she was a school board member. She would just drop into schools and stuff. And that, of course, disrupts the school day, has everybody scurrying around, giving her a tour of the classrooms and all this stuff. And then she would come to the school board meetings and she would spend like 15, 20 minutes at the end of like a 5-hour meeting. And she'd be talking about all of the people that she saw and the kids that she talked to at all of these schools that she visited and all of that. It's all like this. It's like campaigning stuff that she does. And she pulls, like, they have the consent agenda where you've got, like, you know, 20, 30 items that are non-controversial. But she'll pull, like, almost every single item out of the consent agenda so she can talk about it. And she can ask stupid questions that she could have asked somebody in an email. But she won't do it. She'll do it in the meeting, and she'll waste everybody's time. And she'll make staff scurry around to try to answer these questions on the fly when she could have just sent an email a week ahead of time. Like, that's why people want you out, is because you're not fun to work with. You know? By the way, at the end of Vilma Leaks, I'm not going to go into the third hour with this. I do have more audio, but I've run out of time. She then references George Dunlap's that he never thanked the board members for making him chair. Never once did he ever say thank you. She had fallen in the government center at some point and nobody ever asked her if she was okay. And she referenced something about his police record. And I think a lot of people believe that she was accusing him of having committed crimes or something, but I don't know. I've never heard that. But, well, I do know that there was a story about him when he was when he worked in law enforcement, and maybe that's what she was talking about, like police record, his record as a police officer. This was back before the consolidation of Charlotte-Mecklenburg Police, if I recall. I think he may have worked for the county police, but there was an incident that occurred at the jail intake where there was a fellow CO officer, white female, I believe, but a female. I know that. And the story is that she was like at some point on the ground. Nobody's really clear how it happened. And he was like screaming at her, standing over her. And then there was another incident where he accosted a school board member named Linda Lynn Cacadelis, a white female Republican. I believe that occurred either in an elevator or in the parking garage at the former Ed Shed, the old education center over there at the park in Uptown. And she would never be alone with him in the room, just alone with him in a room, she said, ever again. So there are those incidents that occurred back when he was a school board member. I'm not aware of anything recent, but that may be what she was referring to, what Vilma Leaks was referring to. Okay, so then George Dunlap goes on Breaking with Brett Jensen the other night, and he goes over, you know, there was a process, they didn't follow the process, they should have known the rules and all of that. And then he says that Vilma Leaks has some issues.
Vilma has been upset with me for a long while because I don't let her get her way. I'm not a medical doctor, but trust me, there are some issues there.
And to be clear, when you say there are issues there, do you mean mentally or physically?
I'll just say that there are some issues. You know, for a long time, she has been berating me, and she's telling people that I got fired from the police department, that I was a wife beater, that the police came to my house for 28 times. I mean, just stuff out of nowhere. And I've allowed that to happen because, you know, you get accused of beating up on old people or being disrespectful. So I let her have her say. And I don't challenge that because I'm not affected by what she says. You know, I have a responsibility to be fair. She doesn't follow the rules. And she basically says, I don't have to because I can get away with it.
He's not wrong. He's not wrong about that. He's not. Chris says, Pete, what's the big deal with what George Dunlap said? He said not one person contacted me, and that's accurate. It was not one person that contacted him. It was three people that contacted him. It's not one. That's fair. No, that's fair. Thank you for watching. This is from Dennis, who says, thank you for watching and bringing to us key elements of our county commission's meeting this week. As far as the Pride Proclamation, I'm always glad to hear Vilma's take on any situation. To me, she's the personification of the term rambling on. Also, I'd like to see if our commissioners can proclaim a geezer month to celebrate all that have made it past 70 years, all races and sexes included. I think I'll send Vilma an email. Oh, that would be great. Yeah, do it. Kirk says, listening to her speak is pain. I would rather have a root canal. And then J.H. Rock on Twitter, it's a Pete tweet. He says, they could have voted on that proclamation in a quarter of the time it took to argue about adding it to the agenda. Yes, but then I would not have had so much show material. And really, isn't that the point of the county commission nowadays?
All right, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. I could not do the show without your support and the support of the businesses that advertise on the podcast. So if you'd like, please support them too and tell them you heard it here. You can also become a patron at my Patreon page or go to thepetecallinershow.com. Again, thank you so much for listening, and don't break anything while I'm gone.